The scripture for today is from John 5, 1 through 9. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzantha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down in front of me, ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath.
I have a confession to make. It seems like I do a lot of that lately, doesn't it? I stole this sermon. It's been about 45 years ago that I stole this sermon. I'm just now fessing up to it. It was while I was at TCU at Bright Divinity School, and every year they have a week called Ministers Week, and ministers from all over the country come and they take part in all sorts of preaching and techniques and all sorts of labs and stuff, and it concludes with a worship service, and they always try to get one of the premier preachers in the land to preach that sermon. That night, Bishop Joseph Johnson preached. He was a bishop in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and until that time and since then, he's the best preacher I ever heard. And he preached this sermon. The illustration, well, you'll figure out what part is not Bishop Johnson's. But the idea was his. There was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus was a Jew who broke the Jewish law on a regular basis, didn't he? I mean, think about it. He ate with sinners, which was called out to his attention often. He spoke to unmarried Jewish women in the middle of the day out in open, which was a really bad thing to do. He worked on the Sabbath. You remember when they were walking through the grain fields and the Pharisees got on him because he and his disciples were picking heads of grain and chewing on the kernels on a Sabbath. When your religion tells you to do something you know is wrong and not to do something that you know is right, it's time to rethink your religion. And at that point in Jewish history, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests were more interested in maintaining their hold on power than they were in the well-being of the Jewish people in their charge. Part of this wasn't their fault. Rome had taken them over. And Herod was sort of a puppet king, and Caiaphas was sort of a puppet high priest. But nonetheless, Jesus came into town and he turned the apple cart over. Jesus went to where people were gathered. And that day, they were gathered at a fountain with a big pool. Picture this. There were porticos and big columns and steps leading down into a pool that a natural fountain filled. In Hebrew it was called Bethzaza. We might know it as Bethesda. Does that name strike a familiar note? Well, anyway, this pool There was a legend surrounding the pool. At certain times, the water would begin to bubble. It would begin to churn and bubble up. And when that time came, the first person into the pool would be cured of whatever ailed them. Their belief was that an angel came and stirred the waters, and the waters became healing at that point and at no other time. Can you imagine the scene on the porches of Bethesda that day? There were crowds of people all suffering ailments of one form or another. People in misery from all over there waiting to be healed, wanting to be that very first and only person to be healed. Jesus happened to, and he always had the talent for searching out the one in the most need, didn't he? He had a talent for that, and he picked this one guy out. And he found out that this man had been lying there for 38 years, lying on his pallet. You never saw the man without his pallet. The pallet supported him, held him off the ground, but it was a part of what was holding him down too, wasn't it? Jesus picked him out of the crowd, and he asked him a question. At first it seemed like a sort of a cruel question on its surface. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be made whole? Well, of course. I mean, of course the man wanted to be made whole. He had been there for 38 years lying on that pallet, and people would crowd down before him, and he never was able to make it into the pool. His answer was, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the bubbling waters, and when they do bubble, someone always steps before me and enters." He had placed his faith in the bubbles that would come out of this pool. He had placed his faith in bubbles. But we have a tendency to do the same thing. Our bubbles tend to be a little more sophisticated than that. But we do, don't we? We place our faith in the bubbles of our possessions. If we can just get enough stuff, we'll be good to go, and our lives will be easy. My life will be made whole when I have enough stuff. But the right stuff. And we all do that. Mary Louise has warned me against buying anything in the rummage sale. I spent $100 there already. Sorry, honey. Do I have enough stuff? Yes. But at least I have come to the point where my stuff doesn't own me. And there was a time. I told you in another sermon about my MGB GT, the car I had. Oh, I loved that car. It was wrecked, and that was one of the better days of my life, because I was turned loose. My life no longer revolved around my MGB GT. So we do, you know that we place some of our faith in the possessions that we accrue, and when we lose some of our possessions, we're fearful. Or we place our faith in the bubble of technology today, don't we? Our technology can save us if we can just get to where we have 5 gig speed. Now, you got to admit, you're impressed that I can even use 5 gig in a sermon and almost know what it means. I know that it will make computers so fast it will almost be instantaneous, that things that we hadn't been able to do before with our computers, we can do now, just like that. Our technology can save us sooner or later. I can't. Well, I won't, because I will be gone long before this. But sooner or later, someone will be able to upload their consciousness into an android. They will save that out of them, and they will upload that consciousness into an android, and they will have eternal life. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But we do place a good portion of our faith in the technology. Somehow it will make our lives better until we won't need anything else. Some of us place our faith in the bubbles of organizations, in political parties. Things will just be okay when we finally defeat the Republicans or the Democrats or the commies. Well, you fill in the blank. But things will be okay when we finally get that government, which will finally do it. I was given a t-shirt. I love this t-shirt. One of my kids gave it to me. And the t-shirt is just navy blue, and it has letters that are kind of political looking on the front of it. And it says, Republicans for Voldemort. Now, those of you who don't know who Voldemort is, shame on you. That's Harry Potter's nemesis, the evil wizard. And so I mainly wear this, and I'm thinking about wearing it Wednesday, because it fits right in Austin. And people look at me, and what I like about it, they can't figure out if I'm a Democrat poking Republicans or a Republican with a sense of humor. But we do. We do. We place a good portion of our faith in those things, those organizations around us to help us live more complete lives. The bubbles of our possessions, technology, or government cannot save us. They simply can't. Jesus told him that day to take up your pallet and walk. And he did. His pallet, that the pallet had become a symbol of his not being able to do what he wanted to do. It was a symbol of what was holding him back. His faith in the healing power of Jesus that day overcame his fear and his disbelief. I don't even care how you view the miracle stories. It was a real miracle that he up and walked. Could it have been that Jesus finally convinced him of his own power? It could be that. But is that in itself not a miracle? How do we get well? It begins by accepting that we are lovable and beloved children of a loving God. Until you accept that, you are not going to be well. If you have placed yourself within the realm of Christianity, you must know that. Are there other rivers to that same ocean of God's grace? I don't know. That's another sermon for another day, isn't it? It continues with us taking that love of God and sharing it with everyone in our path. We must become little Jesuses to those who find themselves stricken, unloved, feeling unlovable, not really living. Only then can the whole world truly be healed. Amen.